Mary Mullen is a retired elementary and high school teacher. Mary is involved in many church activities, a small folk band, the Dunsmarsh Neighborhood Association, gardening activities, and writing groups, and just about everything else in the community. And she is also our greatest, she's our membership chair. She's brought more people into our group than anyone else in the group. Mary grew up in southwestern Wisconsin, where her father was a minister and her mother was a former missionary. She attributes her love of nature to her rural childhood. Mary?
I'm wearing my band shirt because I just came from a band gig.
Dancing Cows. Well, I could call this, I'm going to read a story and then a short poem. And I've timed it. It's only 6 minutes or maybe right. 10 seconds less. And I could call this first story Turning 41, but I'm going to call it Eat the Rich. You'll see why. They're still in a dresser drawer squirreled away in large yellowed envelopes. One is a tiny tin campaign button for the Roosevelt who was president when I was born. It's probably worth more than all the 59 others I got that day. The captions on others suggest the tenor of the times and typical views of me and my friends. Question authority. I am a shameless agitator. Emma Goldman's, if I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution. Two small blue ones are a pair. One shows a black and white Holstein cow with a white conversation cloud above it. No nukes, thinks the cow. Its companion pictures a cooling tower for a nuclear power plant. No cows, it says. The supreme favorite that was given to me the night of my 41st birthday is a large red button with three simple words in black. Eat the rich. That was offered as a choice of two. Yeah, eat the rich, I thought. That fits the playful in me. It also sums up the scorn that a girl raised religious in Wisconsin, Appalachia, has deep down for those who have more than they need and still think it's not enough. Up until that party, I was only a desultory collector of such pins. I'd buy one occasionally at Room of One's own bookstore in West Johnson, or at the Michigan Women's Music Festival, or pick up a few strays at garage sales. But with my 41st birthday party, I easily enlarged my collection by 100%. But why was I having a 41st birthday party, not a 40th? To be honest, because 40 raced up to me so fast that I couldn't get it together. But for my 41st, I had an entire year to plan. Go figure. I didn't want to put my friends in the poorhouse buying me gifts. The birthday invitation suggested that a button, political or otherwise, would be acceptable. So, in the waning light of Friday afternoon of September 25, 1981, I sat just inside the entrance of Lysistrata, the airy feminist restaurant on West Gorham, greeting my friends. It was a drop-in affair with scrumptious hors d'oeuvres and sweet cake free for the picking up. A cash bar did a brisk business. To my eternal regret, I never picked up one spicy chicken wing or tasted a sip of any liquid, alcoholic or otherwise. By the time I realized I had eaten nothing, nothing was left. We had invited practically everyone I knew in Madison. My women's basketball and softball teams, my church friends, my fellow state employees, people I knew through local politics, women I'd met at Lysistrata or the Rural Dykes Association potlucks, my old lovers, my neighbors. Just about everybody came. They settled down at every available table in the bar. Now and then I'd hear exclamations as a new arrival spotted an unexpected acquaintance sitting with a covey of people otherwise unknown. I didn't know you knew Mary, or how do you know Mary, would waft over to me. I was as surprised as they were. But it was my partner Lou who provided the most enlightening discovery of that evening. Usually a sober woman for whom one glass of wine was plenty At my birthday party, she imbibed drink after drink. As she settled up with Lysistrata after everyone had left, I watched her write the check. In the memo space, she summed up her night, drunk. We got in the car with me driving. Suddenly, Lou was talking crazy philosophy, eat the rich, for example, like my ex-husband. Whoa, oh, so that's what his ordinary brain was like anyone else drunk when he was totally sober. I have to admit, I had liked that about him. But staid Lou had never, ever talked like that. Halfway home, Lou desperately begged me, stop the car, stop the car. She leaned out and puked. Me, I was 41, dead sober and hungry. All right, this next one is a poem called Sauerkraut. A pale crock rests on the hot, let me start over. A pale crock rests on the root cellar floor, weighted with a rock. A dinner plate holds the coming kraut below the cloudy brine. On the shelves, canned goods, fatty chunk beef, helter-skelter green beans, red tomato juice, brighten the cellar walls. Like little humans, the rats stand, front feet on the shoulders of the quarts, trying to lift the flats, but scatter as I open the door. Always that picture when the cellar comes to mind. The dank room, part cinder block, part black rock, materializes like a movie when I cook sauerkraut. Warming the raw spare ribs on the wood stove first, now the flavors mingle as I open the green labeled can. My mouth waters for the pungent treat mixed with fatty pork piled on mashed potatoes. When I mentioned the kraut making to my mother, even before age garbled her memory, she didn't recall slicing quartered cabbage heads on the wooden shredder, packing the sweet pale slivers with salt like our German ancestors, then waiting 6 weeks for nature to take its course down there in the dark. It was like she had started to descend herself into that black place where the single bare bulb could not illuminate the fermenting kraut in the crock or her part in any of it. For me, cooking sauerkraut brings it all back. The cellar, the crock, the furry rats, the steamy plate, my mother.
Thank you, Mary.